And now, from the diamond to the dugout, it's the Twins Nation Podcast. And now, ladies and gentlemen, here's your host.
Hey, Twins Nation, welcome back. It's Joe and Matt again with you.
Hello.
Hey, Matt. And this week, I think we're in a better mood as far as the way our team performed. They only lost on Wednesday. Hey, I'll get it right. Wednesday. So they took 2 out of 3 Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then swept this weekend against Arizona. But the week didn't start off so good in Twins land, I don't think. Sounds like everybody was upset because, as most people who follow baseball know, Monday was the trade deadline day, and the Twins didn't make any moves. A lot of Twins fans were up in uproar as to that being the case. And I was disappointed too that they didn't do anything. Like, seemed like, you know, they didn't pull the trigger on anything for like a right-handed bat or anything. The only move they made all that this last week is what we talked about last week with Dylan Floro. That was, what was your take? Are you kind of,
well, I was very disappointed. You know, it's one of them deals where you knew this in the beginning of the season when you hung on to Kepler that this was going to be a weakness of ours, of not having a right-handed bat. And we did not address it, obviously, during spring training. We didn't address it in the offseason. And all the way up till now, it was, you know, we kept talking about it. Everybody would talk about it. And they still did not do nothing about it. And, you know, I understand they were shopping a few guys, but even somebody they could have went out and got, I mean, even if it was somebody like, I can't think of anybody right offhand that's, you know, probably an average, you know, average at best, right, you know, right-handed outfielder. I mean, even if they would have gotten somebody like that, yeah, you know, you're going to have your people grumbling like, oh, they could have made a better trade and such for somebody better. It's like, well, yeah, they could have, but just anything would have been good. I mean, you know, I kind of figured they weren't going to make another move for the bullpen.
To
me, the bullpen was probably we could have used another arm in there, but it was not, how do I say, probably not as big of a deal to me as the outfield situation.
Yeah.
And so I was very disappointed. I'm surprised my head didn't explode on Monday. And Twins fans should be very disappointed, because if this season goes sour, you know, I mean, if it goes sour, we go south and we don't make the playoffs, I mean, then it's really going to be, it's going to be on the front office, you know, and I know people out there are still trying to throw Rocco under a bus saying fire him. And you know what? This isn't Rocco's team. Rocco is the coach of this team, but he did not build this team.
Right. Yeah. No,
you know, this was Falvey and Levine and the rest of the front office. So if anybody should be in hot water if this goes south, it's them, not Rocco. So I just, yeah, like I said, like most other fans, I'm very disappointed that they at least did not go after some type of right-handed outfielder.
Yeah, I get it, and and they weren't the only team. It seemed, kind of like a quieter deadline day than it has been in the past. There was one deal that stood out above everyone else's, which is that Justin Verlander's back with the Astros after three quarters of a season away in Metsville. So that's bad news if you're an American League foe of the Astros, is that now you got to deal with him again. Just when you thought you got rid of him. there was probably some other moves. I mean, I know there was other moves, plenty of them, but they weren't as, definitely not as blockbustery as that one.
No, and a lot of it is some of these, some of these moves were made, obviously like a week or, to a few days before the last 2 days of the trade deadline, which, if you would have crammed all that together and had that all happen in 2 days, it probably would have been a lot more of an exciting deadline than normal years. But, like I said, it's just, the Twins did make news, on the deadline day. They made news by everybody, all the experts being shocked they didn't do nothing.
Yeah, if you want to call that news. Yeah, that's true. That's the news they made. A lot of teams didn't probably address what they should have too, but yeah, that's the one we're concerned about.
Well, and the other thing you got to think about is some of these teams that, there's some teams that are surprisingly are staying in, are going to try and stay in, the race that we didn't, obviously did not expect. So, teams like San Diego, you thought they for sure that they would sell, but, obviously not. They're going to try and stay in it. And I'm sure there's a few other teams that didn't sell that, we figure would. And, and that's probably, that also probably put a little damper on the trade deadline. So.
Yeah. I thought there was a few teams that would sell and still kind of surprised that the Angels didn't sell, and they decided to buy instead. But at least they took a stance, and they're going to try. Whether it's just because they want to show Shohei that they're going to try in an effort to keep him, or whatever their reason is. But yeah, that's what's going on there. Not much to talk about. There was one pickup after the deadline that they did make for a right-handed outfielder. But it's to replace the only one they had. A couple days ago, Byron Buxton was put on the injured list for the second time this year. This time, he's got some hamstring tightness, and they claimed Jordan Luplo off waivers, and he is now a Minnesota Twin, and made his debut on Saturday night. So
that, yeah, he's Jordan.
He's not going to really help you with the bat, but he can play some defense.
No, he's a decent defensive player. And I'm going to give you how I know about him the best, you know, through my LaMana ratings. Okay. You know, he's usually, you know, one being the best and, you know, five being the worst. He's usually a two or a three corner outfielder. He can play a little bit of center field. He's, you know, in his arm, he's got a above average arm. I mean, not like Matt Wallner type arm, but, you know, he's got a decent arm. In the years past, he's been okay. He's been an okay hitter at best. But overall, I wouldn't really put him, you know, I wouldn't really rely on him for his batting.
No.
Definitely not very good. He's, yeah, definitely not very good against righties. Like I said, I mean, you know, we needed to put somebody in there who could, you know, a right-handed bat. We needed somebody. So, and, you know, with him being let go by the Blue Jays, I mean, he's probably one of the better options out there right now. So, and I'm sure when Buxton comes back, I don't necessarily see the Twins will probably, depending on how they are on injuries, you know, he'll probably get DFA'd and he could go down to the minors and hang out with the team, or he could get picked, you know, he could probably end up somewhere else. So,
yeah. And this is a guy, he's a true journeyman. I guess he's already played in six different organizations mm-hmm. in like 7 years.
Yep. Yeah, he spent a couple years with Pittsburgh, a couple years with Cleveland, and then I know he's been with Arizona and Toronto before he's been here. So,
So as I don't know if you follow Judd Zulgad on Twitter, but he made the quip that he's going for, he called it the Terry Mulholland record, but more accurately, it would be like the Edwin Jackson or LaTroy Hawkins record, which Edwin Jackson, he played for 14 different organizations, and a couple of them were two different stints, so if you mm-hmm. count them each as one, it'd be 16.
Oh, wow.
Which is the record. LaTroy, I think he got up to 12 or 13 before he hung him up. But anyway, that was funny. He's a Twin now. He won't probably play too much. He'll be defensive replacement, or if somebody needs a day off, he'll be in there. But that's about all you can expect. The other big roster moves. Unfortunately, Joe Ryan is down for the count for a while here. He apparently was hiding the fact that he has a full groin muscle or strain groin, or I'm not sure what it's classified as. Finally fessed up to it after his latest outing, which was awful, when he gave up four innings, gave up seven runs in a ton of home runs again. And so he's on the 10-day injured list, and conveniently came just a couple days after Dallas Keuchel opted out of his minor league deal with the Twins, which after that happens, the Twins had 48 hours still whether to bring him up or not. Or he became a free agent, and they just beat that.
Yeah.
And so he is a Twin. He's on the roster now, and he made his Twins debut this afternoon, Sunday, which is when we're recording this. And he didn't look too bad.
No. Like I said, I saw his box scores, and I know you and I kind of talked about it before the podcast. Just, you know, I kind of wanted a visual from somebody who watched and played it. I mean, you know, what did he really look like? You know, because sometimes you can look at box scores and they don't always tell the full story. So,
yeah, he gave, you know, he went 5 innings, gave up 8 hits, 1 run. Almost a lot of those hits was really weak contact. So he didn't get beat around the ballpark at all. They just found holes or got it over the infield a little bit. So he looked pretty decent. Hopefully that is a great sign of things to come while he fills in. With the Joe Ryan thing, how do you feel about that? Are you upset at all that he sounds like he was hiding this injury from the coaching staff, the training staff and whatnot? It sounds like he has been, like, I think he said he heard it in Atlanta when they were there during his start.
Yeah, actually, and I am disappointed because, I'm trying to think of, I don't remember the number of how many of his appearances. I know he lost one for sure, but, and I don't know if he got, I don't know if we, what, how he did the other ones, but yeah, I mean, come on. I mean, we're in a situation right now where this team is trying to stay above water. And you know you're struggling, and you know you're not on your and you know why too, and to not say anything to anybody. I mean, I'm sorry. I, to me, that's a very, you know, kind of a selfish, kind of selfish, you know. And you got 25 other guys on your team who are, you know, are definitely going after the same thing you are, you know, and that's to win. But you also got to take a step back and say, hey, something's not right here, and I don't want to hurt the team. Mm-hmm. So I need to say something, get this checked out, and, you know, put it in somebody else's hands, because it's just, you know, think back, how many of these games could have went differently if we knew the situation?
Yeah.
You know, no. I mean, it, I'm not saying we would have won every one of them. But, right. You know, it definitely would have been made a difference. You know, I'm going to use this as an example. We had a girl who played third base for us this year, and she had some issues with her knee, and she kept saying she was fine all year. And then come to find out, and she didn't play ball with us this weekend because she found out she actually tore something in her knee. So, yeah, so it was kind of one of them things where she tried to tough it out all year. And I, you know, we always tell them, if you guys are hurt, say something. We're not going to be mad at you, you know.
Right.
And it's, you know, I know we're comparing kids to a grown adults, you know, who are making money. But still, it's a team thing. You know, it's all about the team. If you're not up to par or something ain't right, you know, I mean, I expect these guys to play through injuries, certain injuries sometimes, but something like that, no, you cannot play through that. You have to get that taken care of before you make it worse.
Right. Or if you're noticing that it is affecting your performance, you did that. Definitely when you got to say, yeah, this is why that sucked today.
Yeah. And exactly. And, you know, and I get there's probably maybe a few injuries that may not affect a pitcher that much, but
your legs do,
you know.
Yeah.
Yes, your legs do. Anything with your legs, hammy, groin, you know, your ankle, everything, you know, and in your arm too, you know, obviously your pitching arm, but
yeah,
well, it's, I mean, those things affect you, you know, and affect your performance. And to me, it's sometimes being a pitcher is like being a quarterback. if your quarterback's not, you know, if your quarterback's got some issues, it's gonna not only just affect your performance, it's gonna affect everybody around you.
Yeah.
So
definitely.
Yeah, I just really wish he would have, you know, after, you know, when he realized something was not right, I wish he would have said something and, you know, let the team take the, you know, the proper channels of handling it. So. Mm-hmm.
Would have saved him a lot of embarrassment, too. He wouldn't have given up about 15 home runs.
Yeah, and that's another thing. You know, I mean, yeah, I mean, statistically, I mean, it's, you know, all of a sudden it's gone pear-shaped for him.
Yep.
And, you know, some of that could have been avoided. So.
Exactly. So hopefully he learns, and if there's ever another issue in his career, he's like, I'm not letting that happen again. So there was that. Other news, a couple of guys have been transferred to the 60-day injured list. Jose De Leon, which isn't a surprise, he's had his Tommy John surgery, so he definitely wasn't going to play this year. But Brock Stewart also got transferred. That was to make room for Jordan Luplow that we already talked about. And, of course, when people hear a guy gets put on the 60-day IL, they think, oh, his season's over. In this case, that's not necessarily true. He's already been on the IL so long that he's still eligible to come back before the season's over. He did have a setback in rehabbing the injury, so it's going to take a little longer than they expected. I think they're now saying September, hopefully. But that's that news. And like you said, Keuchel's been brought up, pitched today. So nice thing about that is you're not now relying on a rookie to come into a pennant race. You're relying on a guy who's been there and even pitched in World Series. So that's.
Yeah, and I know some people's probably their first choice would have been Louis Varland, but with him struggling right now down in St. Paul, I mean, to me, it was a no-brainer to let's just give Keuchel a shot. I mean, worst-case scenario, if it didn't go well, then we'd have to bring up, you know, somebody, you know, another arm from St. Paul.
Mm-hmm.
So. And like I said, I don't know if it would have been Varland, or I don't know who else they could have brought up. I mean, right. I don't know what Simeon Woods Richardson's doing. I mean, would they have brought up Ronnie Hernanquez, or they probably would have brought up somebody like Sands or, you know, somebody like that just to pitch a game or something. So who knows what they would have done. So
thank goodness they did have Dallas, I guess. First impression was pretty good to me. Let's see, a couple of minor league notes. Twins signed their first round draft pick, Walker Jenkins. He was the last draft pick to sign. Thank you, Scott Boris. But he signed and is down in Florida. He's played a few games now, and in his first at bat in the minors, he got a double on the first pitch he ever saw as a pro baseball player. So that's kind of cool, and it'll be interesting to just see how fast he progresses. And then speaking of progressing, last year's draft pick, Brooks Lee, is now in AAA. He was promoted this week as well. So just a year, just a little bit over a year after he's drafted, he's rocketed almost all the way through the minor league system.
Yeah, you know, not surprised about this. You know, the guys, you know, what's taken him, you know, it's not taken him nearly as long to come up as like most players, obviously, because he was drafted out of college versus high school. But, you know, Brooks Lee, you know, he is a, you know, he's the son of a coach. So he's, you know, usually when you're the coach's kid in college, you know, you must have some talent, you know, or else your dad wouldn't put you in that position. But anyways, no, it's good to see. I kind of figured he would see some time in AAA this year. I just didn't know when. Yeah, so I'd like to, you know, we'll see what happens, and hopefully he progresses like he has been. You know, I don't know if we'll see him this season, you know, in September, if the rosters get, you know, when the rosters get bumped up to 28. If not, I will definitely say, you know, we'll have to keep an eye on him during spring training and see what he does. And maybe he'll kind of help create a logjam, you know, of, you know, with guys who are on the AAA team that are, you know, starving to get a position or get a spot on a 26-man roster.
Yeah, and it'll be really interesting exactly where the Twins are going to put him when he does crack the major league roster, because, you know, he's a shortstop, but their shortstop position is taken for the next 5 years. If everything goes right, which it hasn't this year,
if you listen to Gleeman and the Geek, this past week, but, and they kind of talked about this a little bit about possibly, you know, trying to get Brooks Lee kind of get some, you know, playing time over at third base, you know, kind of maybe try and see if he's got a future at third base, you know, with Polanco not necessarily possibly being with the team, you know, in the future, you know, because his contract is just about up. And, you know, then of course, you know, well, what about Royce Lewis, you know? And I kind of think, you know, depending on Buxton, I think Royce Lewis's future might be in the outfield versus the infield. So I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what happens. You know, I hopefully, you know, that he can, you know, do okay over at third base. Cause obviously, like you said, that shortstop is going to be taken up for quite a few years, maybe, knock on wood, depending on how the rest of his time plays out. Yeah.
Guy, we spent a lot of money on it. Supposed to be that guy.
Yep.
Unfortunately, he's just not chosen. I'm sure he didn't mean to, but this is the year he's had the worst year of his big league career so far. It'll be interesting whether they turn him into a first base or a third baseman or I would guess a second baseman is possible too, with Polanco. Because I don't think they're going to bring Jorge back.
No.
For next season, he is a solid player and hitter, he's also become injury prone, and that's probably not going to get better because he's going to get older, and they have capable guys playing there in his positions that he is able to play. So, you know, they had to force him over to third base when he came off the injured list this time because they didn't want to send Julian down, and Julian's a second baseman if he's playing in the field at all. And so the only way, so it'll be interesting whether they want to keep Julian at second, or have him be DH next year, or what they'll do with him. He certainly has the bat that deserves to play up here. And then, yeah, do you put Royce List at second, which would depend on if Buxton's healthy enough to go back to center field. Because if he's healthy enough to do center field, that's what's going to happen. That's what you signed him for. Or like you said, is Royce Lewis going to turn out to be have a future in the outfield, in center field, or another place? Which is what you kind of think, sounds like.
Yeah, I'm kind of more on board with him being an outfielder, and, you know, and like I said, having that third base spot to Brooksley, and, you know, and Flanco's got, he's got for 24 and 25, he's got club options. And I just, you know, with them, you know, if the club gives him the option, I mean, he's going to be making $10.5 million, and I just have a hard time believing, with especially the last couple years of him and his injuries, that he would, that they would take, that they would take that option. So, mm-hmm. And
the buyout's $1 million, I think. So,
yep. And then, you know, also Max Kepler has a club option next year, and I really highly doubt the Twins are going to pick that up too.
Although,
even though he's playing better, I just don't really see that happening, because then that means they're going to have to pay him $10 million.
I know.
So. And I just, you know, right there, you're going to, you really want to, you know, pay $20.5 million for a guy who played maybe a third of the year, and an outfielder that, you know, all of a sudden it took him, you know, over half a season to just, you know, and be a contributor. I don't see it. But then again, I'm not the Twins front office, obviously, because or else a lot of things would be different.
A lot of fan sentiment right there. Yeah, but gotta give Max some credit here. He has been blazing hot for like the last month, and I believe now he's on a streak where he's hit home runs 3 days in a row. I think he hit one every day, every game against Arizona. I know he hit one today and yesterday. I remember he hit one Friday, but and he's now the team leader in home runs with 18. So credit that he is at least playing like he's in, trying to, you know, in job saving mode.
Yeah.
Or at least, at the very least, maybe getting other teams to notice and take a chance on him next year, when he most likely will be a free agent. That club option probably won't be picked up. And if he's back with the Twins, it'll be at a discount, and it'll be because he couldn't get a better deal anywhere. That'd be the only way, I think, because the guy who is probably ticketed to replace him has he showed up too since his call up. Matt Wallner has proven, yeah, everybody said about him being able to hit baseball as far, that's quite true.
Yeah, he's been. I'll tell you what though, that was a pretty clutch play today from him. So.
Yeah, he hit the walk-off home run for the Twins today. You know, he's not he's not as good of a defensive player as Kepler by any means,
in that, you know, he doesn't quite have the range, but he's not, I don't think he's terrible at it. And whatever he doesn't have in range, he more than makes up for it with the howitzer he has for a right arm. The dude can throw like 100 miles an hour. I think he did the other day.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I would definitely.
I'm excited to see what he's got.
I would definitely put him on that Lamana rating. You know, it's like I said, you know, one being the best and four being, or five being the worst in his range. He's definitely a four. You know, like I said, he's gonna have a you know, a cannon for an arm, and you know, between that, you know, that makes up for a lot of things. So, and you never know, the more playing time he gets, you know, in right field, he could be almost as good as Max. You know, I don't think he'll be better than Max, but I think he could be just as good, you know, because everybody knows, you know, right field is kind of a tricky spot to play at Target Field. So, I mean, once he kind of learns some of those quirky things out there, that could turn him into a much better outfielder.
Yeah, and right now, since Max is still here, he's actually playing left field when he plays. Left field or DH is where he alternates. So I guess they're, who knows if they like him in left field better next year, maybe that's where he goes. But I would think he's going to go to right field. I think he's spent more time there in his life than anywhere.
Yep.
And usually you want your best outfield arm to play right field. You know, right field or center field, but he's never going to play center field because of his range. And he's just a big guy. But boy, he hits some rockets. He hit a few home runs this week. So that'll be something to see. Guy who Kenta Maeda is still pitching well. Went six innings with seven strikeouts on Saturday night. Got lots of run support. 12-1 victory. So nice to see that he's still doing well. Be interesting to see if the Twins will try to re-sign him or if they will let him go because he's a free agent at the end of this season. You know, they do have options in the minors, and also Chris Paddock, if anybody remembers him. He's recovering from Tommy John surgery, and they signed him to an extension, so he's part of the club. It's just where they are they going to let him compete for a rotation spot or maybe try him in the bullpen or something. But you signed him, so you got to have him somewhere.
He supposed to come back this year, later in the year, or are they pretty much going to wait for him to come back during spring training?
So the last update I just read today is it's going a little slower than they thought. They at first thought he may be able to come back late this month, but now it looks like September or maybe not until next year.
I definitely would like to see him compete, you know, in spring training next year, you know, and before he got hurt, what little we did see of him, I think he could be a decent number 3-4 starting pitcher. You know, I think he could easily be a number 5, But I mean, he could also be, like I said, at best, I would think he's a number three guy. Mm-hmm. You know, so I'd like to see what he can do. Yeah, like I said, I know having two Tommy Johns hanging over your head really gives fans, you know, will give Twins fans kind of a different opinion about him. But when he was in San Diego and he had a few good outings and, you know, in some decent seasons that, you know, he does have a good ceiling. I think he could be a decent pitcher. Mm-hmm. So, but like I said, it's just all about the injuries right now, and hopefully he can overcome them.
Right. Yeah. So, you don't think Twins will bring Maeda back then?
You know, I think if they did, I would be, you know, it's kind of one of them things. You definitely don't want to give him more than a 2-year deal.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking maybe like, do they want to bring him back on a 1-year deal? Is Maeda gonna want a 1-year deal, or do you think he's gonna want a 2-year deal?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, of course, he might want something. You know, he might want something longer. To keep him in baseball.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It's hard to say. I think there's a good chance he could come back, but like I said, I don't want him for more than a 2-year deal at the most. So, and I understand pitchers' careers kind of tend to go longer, you know, up into their, you know, to their closer to their 40s, but I'm really leery about older pitchers. So,
yeah. Excuse me. Yeah, it's like kind of as they get older, it's kind of a game of chicken. When you got to guess, when is their ability kind of going to run out?
Yeah.
You don't want to be the team that has him when it's clearly clear that his career should be done.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, he's in his mid 30s now, so he's got more years behind him than he's going to have ahead of him. And so yeah, it's time to wonder just how many years he's got left. I think if he would take a 1-year deal to stay, I think the Twins might do that with him because they don't know just what they will get out of Paddock next year. Or the way he's been pitching, you don't know what you get out of Garland either. They're the two guys I can think of that are. Who's the other free agent in the rotation? Shoot.
It's Sonny Gray.
Sonny, yes. And I don't know that they're going to be able to bring him back. I'm just wondering if he's going to get a nicer deal than the Twins are going to want to give him too.
Yeah, because right now this year they're paying him $12.5 million, and that total contract was a 4-year, $45 million contract. So obviously it was top heavy, like most contracts. I think he's going to want a little more. I think teams might be willing to take a shot at him for more than the $12.5 million that we're paying him this year. So I don't know. I'd like to say the Twins might take a shot at him and see if they can get him to come back. But I think he's going to want probably a 4-year deal, maybe a 3 or 4 year deal, which would take him all the way into probably what, 37 years old. So 38 years old.
Something like that.
You know? Oh. Yeah. So, you know, I'm pretty sure that's what he's going to want. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I'm not his agent, obviously.
But yeah, I mean, it would make sense if he feels he can play 3 or 4 more years. That's what he's going to seek and see if anybody will give it to him. Do the Twins want to do that? And if they don't, course, you know how it's going to be perceived on Twitter, because there's that perception that he doesn't want to be here anyway. I think is misguided. I think we've discussed that to death. And so when and if he does go elsewhere, everybody's going to be, all these people that think he doesn't want to be here are going to be like, see, he didn't stay. He didn't want to be here.
Yeah, exactly.
He probably just got a better deal.
Yeah.
Simple math.
Yeah, you know, no kidding. And to me, depending on what Ober does, you know, your pitchers right now would be, you know, let's just say he does stick around. You got Joe Ryan, you got Bailey Ober, you got Pablo.
Yep.
So, and then you got, you know, like I said, Paddock, who, yeah, it's a little undetermined, you know, but, you know, looking at his stats, you know, even from his first Tommy John surgery, he still came back and threw, before he got hurt, he still threw 130 innings, and he still had a decent ERA. You know, his ERA was, you know, probably in the mid fours, you know, but his WHIP was under 1.3, which is where you want it to be. So, I mean, he was all right. He was productive. So, like I said, a number four or five kind of pitcher. So, I mean, hopefully he can, you know, that's the Chris Paddock we get, you know, when he does come back and we see him in spring training. So, you know, then that just leaves the Twins, you know, figuring out, you know, whether they want to sign Maeda back, or do we want to take a shot at Sonny Gray, or do we want to hope that some of our, you know, our prospect pitchers are improving, you know, to give one of them a shot. So, I mean,
if he impresses enough, do you want to see if Dallas Keuchel will take a 1-year deal?
I don't know. I got to see some more than one game. So,
I mean, see how he does in however long he's going to be with us. I'm just saying, he'll be out there.
You know, and I'm going to tell.
He hasn't gone through all he did to pitch this year if he doesn't want to come back next year, too.
So. You know, and I'm going to tell, and I'll tell people, you know, when Keuchel's out there, I mean, you got to know the kind of pitcher he is. He is not a strikeout pitcher. Obviously, look at today, you know,
cross-passing lefty.
Yes, you know, that's like when the Twins had Bartolo Colon. Everybody thought, oh, you know, everybody was thinking the Bartolo of old. Was in his young career. And that's just not the kind of pitcher he was anymore, you know. And, you know, he was one of them guys that he would pitch. He's going to give up home runs, but, you know, he would keep the ball. In, you know, for the most part, he would keep the ball in, you know, in field. So, although the best part of that when he was here was him striking out Aaron Judge. That was the best part. In his first start. That was great.
Because he didn't launch any home runs for us.
Yeah.
Isn't that kind of sad? That might be the thing he might come out to be most famous for is when he hit a home run as a Met.
But like I said, I just think the whole Dallas Keuchel thing might fall into that category of what the Twins used to do in the past, you know, relying on some of these really older veterans, you know, Shoemakers and the, Dylan Bundys, Homer Baileys, you know, and it's like, I don't think the Twins want to fall back into that category again.
Probably not.
So,
but I'm just throwing it out there that it could happen.
No, I mean, if push comes to shove and, things don't go the way we want and we don't get the free agency doesn't go our way. I mean, we could probably get a guy cheap like Keuchel, but like I said, just be ready to overuse your bullpen because, five innings. You know, that's what he gave today. I mean, he's not going to be a pitcher. I'm going to expect to go six innings or more, you know, very often. So
probably not at this point. No,
no,
but it'll be interesting to see what he does. And then Saturday night was kind of a special night. I don't know how much of it you caught, but there was a ceremony before the game, and Joe Mauer got put in his first Hall of Fame. He's a Twins Hall of Famer now, if we didn't already know that. He's officially a Twins Hall of Famer.
oh, yeah.
Congrats to him.
Yeah, most definitely. Definitely well-deserved.
Yep.
I know he was definitely a fan favorite, and I know sometimes he was not a fan favorite.
I never understood that.
Yeah, I didn't either. He was kind of one of them guys, even at his worst. I still thought he was a great ball player. definitely yeah. A great catcher. You know, it was kind of a bummer he had to go back, you know, had to, you know, to continue his career. He had to kind of go to first base. But, you know, like I said, I mean, he was a good hitter, never really a power hitter, which is, you know, that's fine. You know, I'm okay with that.
You know,
so
he thought he would hit more home runs, but I'll take a guy who hits 320 every year over that, if I'm honest.
But yeah, like six All-Star games in 8 years. I mean, like I said, that's he's definitely well deserved.
Only catcher ever to win three batting titles. So do you think he ends up in Cooperstown? He's eligible next year.
I think it'll take a little bit of time. I don't think he'll get in on the first year.
Okay.
I don't know. I'm not 100% certain how the Hall of Fame ballot exactly works. How many years a guy can be on a ballot before before they pretty much just throw his name out?
Well, there's two things that could happen. If a guy doesn't get enough votes, certain percentage of votes, they get taken off the ballot whatever year that happens.
Okay.
I don't see that happening to Mauer. I want to say it's like 15% or lower if you're not on the ballot or if you're not voted for. On 15% or lower, or if you're only voted for 15% or lower on the ballots, then you're removed from the future ballots. But as far as how many years you're on the ballot, maximum, I want to say like 8 to 10,
okay,
something like that. I could be totally off.
I'd
have to look it up too.
I think it'll, you know, if that's the case, I don't see him being on there on his first year. It might take a year or two for him to get in, but I do think he deserves it. He's, you know, and it's not just because of what he did in Minnesota. I mean, just overall, like I said, he's an MVP. You know, he's had, what, three Golden Gloves, three batting titles, and I want to say he's had five Silver Slug Awards, you know, and a six-time All-Star. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, he was basically, when you talked about, you know, catchers in, you know, the mid-2000s to, you know, through the mid-2000 teens, I mean, you couldn't, I guarantee you put a top five list in there or even a top 10 list. Joe Mauer's name was on a lot of them list.
Oh yeah.
You know, yeah. And is he better than some of the other guys that are in the Hall of Fame right now? Obviously, no, probably not. He's not a Johnny Bench, you know, he's not a Pudge Rodriguez, but he's still, you know, he was still a really good player in his career. And he definitely, I think he definitely deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. So I just, I think it might take a little bit of time.
Yeah, definitely. I have to admit that, you know, when he first retired, somebody asked me if he would get to the Hall of Fame. And I, at the time, said, I don't think so. I think he goes to the Hall of Very Good. But after this many years now, and in retrospect and seeing, you know, comparing him to other catchers' careers, it was definitely one of the better ones. And, and you know, I know, I think he does make it. And like you, I don't know if it's a first ballot, but I think definitely he will make it, and it won't have to go to what's called the Veterans Committee, which is what happens when your time on the ballot is up. Members of the Hall of Fame can still vote you in at that point. But I do think he gets in, just don't know when that'll be, whether that's next year or few years from now, who knows. But I think he does get in. And it's always cool to watch those ceremonies for me, especially to see all the guys from the past who show up for that, you know, all the previous Twins Hall of Famers and his old teammates and stuff. It makes me sad, because I'm looking at these guys and I'm like, when did Greg Keggy look so old? What the? Does this mean?
Well, I was going to say, Joe even looked older. He looked pretty gray.
He does. He does look a little grayer now. He was starting to
get, I was going to say, I'm about a
playing, but
I was going to say, I'm a year old, or I'm about a month older than him, and he's definitely got more gray hair than I do.
There's probably a reason why he's buzz cutting that hair. You know, doesn't have the nice hair he did when he first came up to the big leagues. But I can't say much. I'm a bald man, so.
Yeah, that's definitely great. One problem I do not have an issue with. Still got to get a haircut every month and a half.
I still got to get haircuts. I get upset that I'm still paying for the same amount for a haircut that I would if I had full head of hair. I'm trying to figure out how that's fair.
Well, invest in a really good mirror and shave it yourself.
Well, I don't trust myself. I don't trust myself not to cut myself. But I don't know. Maybe someday. God's taken care of a lot of the job, so look like my dad that way. But yeah, there's that. And his buddy Justin Morneau got to give the speech to induct him. So that's always cool when your best friend gets to do guys who were connected their whole careers. The second, not the main M&M boys, but the Minnesota version of the M&M boys. It was pretty cool. I don't know how much of that, if any, you caught, but it was.
I didn't get to see any of it. You know, like I said, I wish I would have. Because I do kind of enjoy that stuff, you know, and, you know, any, you know, whether it's, you know, the Vikings or the Twins, when somebody gets put into the Ring of Fame or, you know, or the Hall of Fame, whatever you want to call it, you know, it's good to see, you know, all the guys come back for, you know, to kind of help, you know, make it possible for him to get in. And just, you know, it's just awesome to see those old players and, you know, the family, you know, of the player, and, you know, just to be there and just kind of celebrate a good cause. So, yeah. And I thought, did I see he got to play catcher there for a second? His kids all threw him a pitch, if I saw that right.
Yeah. Ceremonial first pitch.
He has
three kids now, and they all threw a pitch to dad.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, I saw that, so.
Yeah, he's got the twin girls. I think they said they're 10 now. And then he's got a 4-year-old boy. What was really neat, you can catch the speech on YouTube if you wanted to. But what was really neat is, like, his speech was basically, he would constant, you know, his thing was to say, he was, I would tell my girls this and this and this. And he did that throughout the whole speech. I thought it was pretty neat that he would talk about how he talked about his career with his little girls. Because they weren't old enough to remember any of it, probably.
No.
Until maybe the last year or two. if that, because they would have been 5 or 6 years old when he stopped. And then he'll have to do the same thing for his son, because he wasn't born until after he retired. So the only kind of sad thing about the whole thing is that his biggest influence in his life wasn't there because, and that being his dad, because his dad passed away a few months ago.
Yeah, that I did hear about. So
that was sad to remember that, but, otherwise, it's always a neat deal to watch that kind of thing.
Yeah, especially a guy who, you know, deserves it as much as him. And, you know, and it's, you know, like I said, I hopefully he gets in the Hall of Fame. I think that would just be a really awesome deal. And, you know, he definitely deserves it. You know, and there's other guys out there that I know deserve to get into. So, but you know, I'm sure you can go through every team and find one guy that deserves it more than anybody else. And it
hasn't yet. Yeah,
exactly. So, and I'm sure Minnesota fans know all about that with Jim Marshall. So,
is he not in the Pro Football thing yet?
Why did I think he might have made it in this year? Or, yeah, I think he did. I think he did make it in this year. I missed the Hall of Fame game because I don't watch preseason football.
Yeah.
But
I that kind of snuck up on me this year. It was like, all of a sudden I'm just scrolling through, or maybe it even flashed up on TV that there was a football game on Thursday, and I'm like, what? It's August.
Oh, I know. Yeah. But you know what?
It's... I think that every year, though. It's like,
yeah.
But, like, so that means in a month, there's football that matters. What?
Yeah.
What happened to this year already?
Yeah, no, Jim Marshall, according to this, it said he was left out of the final 12. So I have to keep trying.
Okay.
So he definitely deserves to be in. I never, like I said, he played way before my time.
Oh, yeah.
And I just don't understand how Eller and Page can be in, but not him. So
they probably agree, if you ask them.
Mm-hmm. Or anybody who, yeah, or anybody who knows anything about football from back in them days.
No. So, unfortunately, as good as he was, he's known for a mistake. you know what that is, right?
Yeah, that happened 60 years ago. I'm sure we could forget about it by now.
That's on tape forever, unfortunately.
Yeah. So
everybody, if you don't know what we're talking about because you don't follow football, Jim a few years ago picked up a fumble and you ran the wrong way.
For 2 points.
Instead of a touchdown, he gave the other team 2 points.
Yeah. And of course, the first one to tell him about it was Fran Tarkenton.
Well, I imagine.
That had to be embarrassing.
I wonder who they were even playing.
San Francisco.
Oh, okay. Okay. I thought if you were going to say, like, the New York Giants, and then that it was Fran Tarkenton was the first one to tell him that, because Fran played for the Giants in between his stints with the Vikings, so.
Yep. No,
so that would have been even worse
was,
if that was during a time when Fran was with the Giants.
Yep. Nope. That was with, nope, Fran was with the Vikings. That was his first stint.
Okay.
So.
I think that pretty much covers it. Looked like our starting pitching had a good week after, other than Joe Ryan. Everybody else looked pretty good. It always is a great thing. Let's see. Kepler, like we talked about, he's hot. And Michael A. Taylor hit a couple of home runs this week. One was off. I think they both went to the opposite field, which is something he doesn't do very often when he homers. Mm. And we've got 15 homers already. So
if you had, yeah, no, like I,
you had that, yeah. Then you, I wanna know you, so I know what lotto tickets to, lotto numbers to pick. If anybody knew he was going to hit 15 home runs this year.
Yeah, no kidding. But no, I mean, it looks like so far the last couple series, for the most part, the bats have been kind of, they've been clicking. Pitching's been okay at best. I mean, it's there, they're still keeping us in games, but the bats have really helped. And I know coming up this week, we have a 4-game series in Detroit.
Yep.
Like I said, it's a division game, anything can happen, and
they should win, because, and we said that last week, should have had fun in Kansas City, and they did not.
Yeah.
By any
So like I said, they got a 4-game series against Detroit. Then after that, they will go to Philadelphia to face the Phillies,
yep.
Which that will obviously be a tougher series, I think.
Big for both.
Yeah, Philadelphia, they're second place, they're 10 games above 500. They're 10.5 game back from the Braves. But, they're hanging in there in second place. I believe they just passed the Marlins recently. So, I think that'll be a little tougher challenge for them. I think if next week, if they can go, it'd be nice if they could win 4. At least win one in Philadelphia, and they better win at least 3 in Detroit. That would be great. You know, and then I know they got an off day next Monday, and then I think they come back home against Detroit again. So,
okay.
So we're going to see a lot of Detroit here in the next week and a half. So,
yeah, so take advantage, please.
Yes.
don't Kansas City that.
Yeah.
That and I mean, if they somehow still don't make the playoffs, those are the two series that they definitely will point back to and say, this is why we laid an egg versus two teams against Kansas City and Washington.
Mm-hmm. You know, and you remember the first half of the year, you know, the team that they really laid an egg against obviously was Washington.
Yeah.
And, you know, the second half so far, I mean, they laid their egg against Kansas City. So, I mean, hopefully those are the only two they lay, but,
yeah.
Well, you never know. So, I mean, just hopefully the hitting continues and the pitching at least, you know, stays, you know, doesn't get any worse than where it's at right now. I think I don't see any reason why we can be, you know, if not, you know, kind of just, I don't know how to say, I mean, be about an average or better team.
Yeah.
You know, just the main thing is just stay consistent, you know, and just stay ahead of Cleveland, you know, because we definitely don't want to, you know, we don't want this team to fall apart like last year and then sit here and, you know, blame some of these, you know, a few bad series and the front office for not making any moves at the trade deadline. You know, we don't want to deal with that. So,
exactly. And speaking of Cleveland, did you see what happened last night?
I read about it, but I have not actually got to see a full replay of that. But I pretty much got told it was like a Batista Odor ordeal.
It was, yeah, it was. So, for others who did not see it, last night the Cleveland and Chicago White Sox were playing, and there's play at second base. I still don't know exactly why Jose Ramirez, who plays for Cleveland, was upset with Tim Anderson of the White Sox. But tag at second base. Ramirez is clearly safe. He beat the throw and the tag and everything. But he starts, you know, I guess Tim maybe stood over him a little longer than he liked, or kept the tag on him a little longer than Ramirez liked. But Ramirez starts yelling at him, pointing his finger in his face. And then all of a sudden, like, they're hockey players. Tim drops his glove and they put their dukes up and actually got some swings in at each other. There wasn't just like a normal baseball fight is just shoving and shouting at each other. They actually took swings at each other, and Jose Ramirez landed one to the jaw that knocked him to the ground. So if you actually want to see two baseball players take swings at each other, check that out. It's all over YouTube.
I'm definitely going to have to
see if John Boy, when he does his breakdown about that, because that's always great for a laugh when he does breakdowns of pitches or, you know, at bats and especially fights.
Yeah, most definitely. I know probably all of baseball podcast world is going to be, they're going to be all over that whole ordeal. And I'm sure some suspensions and fines that'll all be coming out too. So if they haven't already, I'm sure on Monday that'll be a thing. So,
yeah, I mean, nothing's been announced yet. It's only, they usually don't do that the day after something like that happens. So I'm sure early next week, yeah, they'll those guys will find out how long they're sitting for that. And then there will probably be they'll probably appeal the suspension depending like normally they go through. Sometimes it's like a day or two and then they drop their appeal and then they'll serve it. I'm guessing probably going to maybe be like a 5-game suspension for each or something like that.
Yeah, probably a good possibility. So
I don't know what standard is when you're fighting, but
yeah, because I don't remember what Bautista and Odor got, but
mm-hmm. Right. And yeah, so it was very interesting, but yeah, so if you like that kind of stuff, check it out. It's different. It was kind of funny. So I guess both the White Sox and Guardians helped the Twins out by getting their best players, letting their best players duke it out and get themselves suspended.
Yeah, no kidding. So,
but I've never, because, you know, just like a hockey fight, you know, at first the refs will try to split the two guys up, but if they keep going, then they'll step out of the way and let them go at it. That's exactly what happened with the umpire last night. Like, I've never seen an umpire just move.
Yeah, sometimes in those situations, you really don't want to get in the middle of them, you know, but I don't know. It's hard to say, so.
So yeah, anyway, well, I think I had don't know what else we can talk about, if anything. So
I think we pretty much hit on everything.
Okay, so if that will wrap it up then, and thank you everybody for listening again this week, and we will you can, as always, if you want to, you can find us on all the social medias podcast platforms. Just look for Twins Nation Pod on Twitter and Thread and Instagram. You'll find, if you put that in, you should find it. We hope you enjoy it, and definitely feel free to interact with us if you like. We always like that. So for Matt, this is Joe, and we'll sign off and see you guys next week.
Yep, everybody have a good week, and Gurriel Jr., get a haircut.
You don't like the purple hair?
No. All right. Have a good one, everybody.
That's funny. All right. Take it easy, guys.
Thank you for listening to the Twins Nation Podcast. You can follow the show on Facebook and on Twitter. On Facebook, just search for Twins Nation Podcast. On Twitter, we're at Twins Nation Pod. And Joe is at Big Joe Gunn.